This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Friday the 13th, December 13th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. A national sandwich chain looking to Doritos to spur sales. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, holiday tipping can be tricky. But who do you tip and how much? Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jacqueline Whitmore, etiquette expert and founder of the Protocol School of Palm Beach, based in Palm Beach, Florida. Find her online at etiquetteexpert.com. Jacqueline, thank you for joining us today. And the subject of just tipping in general, but holiday tipping in particular, can be a moment everyone's got to take, and it can be a source of great anxiety. So what are some guidelines that you should follow when we talk about tipping the various people in our lives this holiday season?
Hi, Rob. Yes, tipping is to ensure proper service. So I would recommend that you start with a list. And you, whether it's a mental list or a physical list, and you think about all the people who have made you or your family's life easier. For example, if you have the same nanny or the same babysitter all year long, that's somebody who's really important, and that person should receive some sort of gift at the end of the year, or maybe even throughout the year. In my case, I don't have kids. It might be my dog walker. It might be my hairdresser or the person who does my nails. It might be your personal trainer, but you need to prioritize, because money is not unlimited for many of us.
You bring up a very good point, especially when it comes to those who provide childcare in your life, especially if they're younger. Generally, kind of the older your kids get, that's when school takes care of most of the childcare for almost all day. But yeah, if you do have a nanny or a babysitter who you work with regularly, you should probably give him or her a little bit of a gift at the end of the year. What are some of the guidelines, though, for tipping people like the nanny, or maybe someone who cleans your house every 2 weeks, or even the mailman?
Well, I would say give what you have. You certainly have to stick within your budget. So for me to tell someone to tip at least a week's worth of pay may not be realistic for some of us. It may be tipping just what you have in terms of you don't always have to give money either. I mean, a lot of people value handmade gifts. They might value gift cards. They might value something else besides money. So, for example, in the case of my hairdresser, I would tip her normally 15 to 20% when I go in. So during the holidays, I might bump that up an extra 10%. So I do things more in terms of percentages instead of thinking about, oh, I have to give that person a week's worth of monetary compensation.
And then it's just simply a matter, it sounds like, Jacqueline, of just make a list of all the people in your life. And that goes, you know, teachers, nannies, the person who mows your lawn every couple of weeks, if you have that, someone who shovels your walk, just anyone who provides a service to you in your life could be eligible for a holiday gratuity.
That's right. And remember, it doesn't have to be money. For example, you mentioned the teacher. Well, that person deserves a kidney. That person deserves a lot more.
I only have one, though, Jacqueline.
Well, I would say you might want to go in with other parents and pool your resources.
Take
to
their kidneys.
Get that person. Yes.
I was going to say, exactly. Jacqueline, also, I have one to give away. I need the other one. But no, I understand because my wife was a teacher before she got promoted. And one of the great holiday traditions was when all the restaurant gift cards rolled in at holiday time. And that was always good for one nice night out.
Absolutely. And I love giving gift cards, especially if I know that the person will like it, use it, and enjoy it. So you can always give those people in your life something that's meaningful. And that's the main thing. It's the intent behind the gift. And if you can't, for some reason, give a monetary resource, something like $15, $20, $40, $50, then at least write a card. Give thanks in writing, because that always shows your appreciation.
Jacqueline Whitmore, etiquette expert, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Subway adds a new crunchy foot-long item to its menu.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Fast food giant Subway is getting wild, testing Doritos foot-long nachos. It's sparking online buzz and dividing fans, some calling it a bold innovation, others labeling it as a misguided menu move. Joining us to discuss it is R.J. Hotovy, head of analytical research at the Los Altos-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today. The Doritos foot-long nachos, kind of outside of the wheelhouse of Subway, but RJ, we're talking about it on the radio, so already it seems like Subway is notched a win.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're right there, Rob. I think this is, as we've spoken about in the past, right now in the quick service restaurant space, it's all about innovation. And, you know, a lot of times that comes down to creating buzzworthy products. And so we're starting to see a lot of chains take bigger bets like this. And I think that Subway with this footlong nachos, it stays on brand for them with the footlong team, but gets them into a space that could potentially attract a new audience and bring in more customers. And these products, what our data shows is they typically are very successful, at least early on. Does it have longevity? Does it something that they can keep on the menu for a while? That's to be seen. But it is something in this day and age about edgier products, edgier marketing, and really standing out from a packed industry at this point.
Now, it sounds like it's really dividing, though, the Subway super fans. And that is, you know, some people who think this is kind of a creative departure, maybe a challenge to be overcome. But other people who believe that this is flying in the face of Subway's longtime marketing as the healthier fast food option. This is a place where you can get a lower calorie sandwich, and you could get your daily recommended serving of vegetables on a sandwich instead of a fried calorie bomb at the competition.
Yeah, you're right on both accounts there. I mean, I think what we've seen in the past with products like this, they're not going to be for everybody. They certainly have the opportunity to be divisive, and I think that's been the case here. Think back to some of the other products that, you know, maybe a Taco Bell has launched. When they first launched the Doritos Locos Tacos, for example, that was certainly a divisive product. And we've seen this, with a lot of other products as well. It is interesting, your second point about perhaps Subway ditching the healthier brand image. That is interesting, and that is a bit of a shift for the company. But it's one that I think a lot of people are probably, you know, they've made the decision to be, you know, more indulgent when they go to Subway anyway. So perhaps it was time to move past that and kind of lean into, you know, how people are typically seeing the brand in reality. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, but, it'll be interesting to see. The product won't be actually launched until next year. It's still in a test period right now. But again, I think it will create a lot of buzz for the brand.
When it comes to generating buzz, though, if you're in the marketing department at Subway and you already know that people are talking about the foot-long Doritos nachos, and then you see people talking about it online, maybe you have fast food influencers going into Subway restaurants and taking on, you know, a Doritos foot-long nacho by themselves and posting it to social media. If you're generating that level of heat on TikTok or on Instagram, does that necessarily generate foot traffic, and does that translate into sales?
Typically, it does drive foot traffic, and at least for an initial period, it does drive sales. It's the question is that repeatable? Is that something that you continue to bring people back? The success that Taco Bell has had, and I think they've been long regarded as one of the great innovators in the quick service restaurant space, is it wasn't just one product. It was certainly a string of products. So, after the Doritos Locos Tacos, it could be something else. And I think that's the key here, and the challenge is that a company like Subway, you can't just depend on this one product as a win. You're going to have to continuously innovate. And those are the chains right now that are really winning in terms of both visitation and sales, and more importantly, visit frequency, people coming back repeatedly. So I think that's the challenge here is there something else beyond the pipeline to really innovate around after this product launch?
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, YouTube TV finding its audience and raising its prices.
Make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
YouTube TV is a favorite among young people, but it's raising its prices starting in January. Joining us to discuss the price hike is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com, based in San Francisco. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. YouTube TV was one of those workarounds for people who either cut the cord or never knew the cord existed in the first place. But now YouTube TV, which was a way around the cable bundle, is starting to act like the cable bundle, and it's raising prices once again.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny. A commenter on X today said, I'm so glad I finally made that decision in 2018 to ditch the cable, my $89 a month cable package. So now I can pay $83 a month for YouTube, $23 for Netflix, $16 for Disney, and it goes on and on and on. And that's exactly right. Before you know it, we have subscription creep. And, the average person is paying $200 or more to watch TV. And didn't somebody say TV was dead? So here's the thing. Yes, YouTube TV is getting more and more expensive. They are adding things that most of us will not use. The biggest reason to subscribe is to not have ads and commercials. All the other stuff, not sure we need that. So maybe it's time to ditch that YouTube subscription and go back to watching free content, which includes access to music, over 200 movies, entertainment, and YouTube Shorts, which all these young people are watching anyway. That's all free.
It seems like, and this is the interesting part of the discussion, especially when it comes to YouTube TV and what qualifies as content, because just looking at the YouTube TV subscription landing page right now, it does look like the website for any other cable TV provider. These are the channels you get as part of your package. These are the add-ons and so on and so forth. You can get sports, you can pay more, you can pay less. But it seems like for a lot of people, they will just put whatever they're streaming via the YouTube app up on their TV. That is TV to them. That it is just as entertaining as, let's say, the Jeffersons were to us way back when. And I've also noticed here, seeing some numbers out of some digital first outlets saying they have a video component of their podcast, and that an increasing number of their users are just beaming that podcast video to their TV, their smart TV in their home, and watching it like it was any other channel.
I was just hanging out with my stepsons in New York last week, and that's exactly what they do. They're 30 and 33, so young people in our world, and that's what they do. They go from the shorts to the episodes. I watch all kinds of traditional television, just shorter versions of it. It's like the best of playlists. I watch that on my television now via streaming YouTube. So it's kind of like when we watched All in the Family or any of those, you know, MASH, we were stuck watching commercials. So now you can still do that. You can do a lot of that for free, but you're stuck watching commercials and getting ads pointed right at you. The other thing that the subscription will give you, it gives you the ability to kind of DVR content, watch it anywhere you want, download it on the go. You can watch in other languages, which you can't, you know, like Spanish was added, Spanish YouTube television. That doesn't always happen. But also, you're paying for a lot of things you might not be using, like all of their AI. They have all kinds of new AI features. 9 out of 10 people aren't really using those. So yeah, just double check. Well, and then the other point to make here is, you know, they're getting a lot of this content for free because content creators are putting it up on YouTube. This does give a way for content creators to get paid. So in that way, maybe it's worth it. I still subscribe to a ton of different newspapers because I want to support people like me out there in the world, journalism. So maybe for that reason, it's worth it. But I feel a story in my near future on is ditching YouTube, the new ditching the cable cord.
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Today's planned vote on a proposed Chicago city budget is postponed. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is injured while in Europe for a historic remembrance of a pivotal battle in World War II. In Entrepreneur Friday, we check in with the co-founder of a Chicago optical company that continues to grow. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is down 48 points. The NASDAQ is down 10. The S&P 500 is down 4. We have 24 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies, going up to 29 today. A cold day, but nowhere near as harsh compared to yesterday. Temperatures in the 40s throughout the weekend, could see 50 by Monday. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. This morning's planned vote on a 2025 Chicago budget has been delayed. It's believed Mayor Brandon Johnson didn't have enough votes to pass the spending plan. The meeting ended with this announcement by the mayor.
This meeting is recessed until December 16th at 1 p.m.
We'll get the latest on the budget battle coming up at 12:49. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has suffered an injury while traveling with a bipartisan congressional delegation overseas. She's in Luxembourg to mark the 80th anniversary of World War II's Battle of the Bulge. Her office isn't revealing details at this time, but does say that she's getting excellent treatment from doctors. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are lower today, slightly. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. Kind of a week of contrasting stories when it comes to the financial markets. You had the NASDAQ crossing the 20,000 threshold for the very first time, but at the end of the day, it's shaping up to be a losing week on Wall Street.
Yeah, it's actually a losing month. The average stock is down around 4% so far this month. It was masked by some of the strength in the Mag 7 up until about Wednesday of this week. But I would attribute it to the fact that you were up an awful lot in November. So valuations got stretched. Yields got a little bit too low relative to the expectations for inflation and what the Fed is going to do in their reset next week. So you have high valuations, yields correcting to the upside. You're getting a modest correction. It's also seasonally, the first part of December is usually weak. But my guess is, following, again, historic patterns, the back 2 weeks in the year will be seasonally very strong.
Yeah, it sounds like, especially for the first half of December, you have to really factor in that major run-up that took place in the month of November, especially following the results of the election. And eventually, you can only go so high before you decide to look back down.
Yeah. And, you know, you have some people taking profits. But I think the other side of that is money managers are going to get measured on their results year end, which is only a couple of weeks away, and managers are going to want to make sure that they are weighted in the stocks that have been up the most. So I suspect you're going to get another move in the Mag 7 and the technology stocks, and that ought to carry the rest of the market along. And then in January, we're going to have a new administration. We'll see what they do, what they propose, and the market could readjust to that. But next week, you're going to get a Fed meeting, Fed press conference, Fed dot plots. And I think they'll probably lower the expectations for the number of interest rate cuts next year. So we'll have to deal with that. And also you get personal income spending and the personal consumption expenditures inflation report. So while the trend is likely to be up for the next 2 weeks, we are going to have a reality check next week out of the Fed.
Before we talk about the Fed and before we talk about the PCE, we are in tax loss harvesting season, and that maybe a lot of investors want to put some dogs on the table so they can limit the hit to their tax bill next year. Does that happen in large enough numbers to impact the trajectory of the markets in a given day or a given week?
Yeah, I don't think so, because so much of the market is now controlled by institutions, tax-free money, and computer trading. Also, you don't have that many losses this year. The average stock is up between 18 and 20%, even after being down this month. So I don't think that's going to be a major factor, except if you have companies that are down a lot for fundamental reasons that have fundamental problems.
Now, we have a Fed meeting next week, and it seems like we're still on track for that quarter point cut to be announced next Wednesday. But at the same time, the Fed may also change their game plan when it comes to interest rate cuts in 25. And what kind of effect will that have on the markets?
Yeah, I think the markets are expecting it. They're expecting a dial back in the forecast for the number of cuts next year from, I think, something like 3 to something like 2. I think they're going to have a lot of optionality. It's going to be a hawkish cut next week where they're going to say we're going to watch the data. I think they're going to skip in January, and then we'll work our way through the spring and see what the new administration proposes and how the market interprets that in terms of economic growth and inflation.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, growing a business in the optical industry. It's Entrepreneur Friday. Let's check in with locally owned eyewear retailer Big City Optical, which is celebrating its rapid growth with the opening of its 19th Chicago area location. We welcome in Michael Kogelis, co-owner of Big City Optical, which opened in 2017. Mike, thanks for joining us today. For you, the co-owner of Big City Optical, how does your job change when you go from opening just one shop 7 years ago to now supervising 19 of them? How do your responsibilities change?
Well, they keep getting more and more complicated, and what ends up happening is that you have a lot of conversations with employees and customers about what they need, how we can support them, and how they can be part of the business at large. And I think at Big City Optical, due to our growth, we've got a great army of people that work for us that have been with us for a long time and have continued to celebrate us continuing to grow.
Opening one optometry shop is an accomplishment of a lifetime. Opening 19 is something else entirely. And what was the most difficult part of scaling up? Was it going from one location to two, one location to 10? Or when you start expanding, you kind of know what you're doing once you open another store?
You know, I don't think that there is a great roadmap for what you're going to experience as you continue to scale. And certainly, I'd say that, at first it was getting employees. The next part was getting great locations. I would say that today it's all of the non-customer facing support staff team that we need to build, whether it's a finance manager or a person that is in charge of HR. So that, I'd say that that has now become our most complicated aspect, is how do we build out that support team?
It's also a pretty substantial bet on the future of Chicago as a city and neighborhoods that can support small business. So as someone who has been consistently opening new locations throughout the city, what's kind of your take on what it's like to be a small business person in Chicago right now?
You know, I think it depends on the day that you would ask me that question, but I certainly think that Chicago is a vibrant city with, all our population, they're fans of local business. And as a local optometry chain, Big City Optical, we often encounter folks that are just, excited that we're local and that people can go to different neighborhoods and get the same great service. It's not something that we expected at first. And I always share with my partner that if I'm out in a Chicago restaurant in one of the communities that we have a store, of four people, maybe two of four have been to or are planning on going to a Big City Optical. So it's something that we're really proud of, and we think Chicago is an amazing city to run a business in.
Now, this is the end of the year, and of course, people have to spend those flexible spending account dollars, and maybe they can spend them at Big City Optical. But my question for you is, were there any changes in health insurance benefit regulations in the last 20 years that really made an optometry shop an attractive business? Was it because of the introduction of FSAs 20 years ago that really made an optometry shop, it made sense?
Yeah, I think that population is what makes optometry and most of healthcare a vibrant career choice. When you go into a city like Chicago that's continuing to grow, the population continues to grow, and so do the needs of the population. We've got an aging population in the Chicagoland area. All of them are coming in for eye exams. And so I think that it's the conditions of just a growing country that make the biggest difference. As far as FSAs and HSAs, certainly it helps us at the end of the year get really busy, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And we know that from now until the end of December, you've got to come in and use that flex spending account or it goes away. So that creates a lot of motivation for people to use their benefits and to use their HSAs and FSAs with some haste. And so December 31st is the last day.
Michael Kogelis, co-owner, Big City Optical, 19 locations now across the Chicago area. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, a look at holiday gas prices.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Drivers are getting relief at the pump as the average cost for a gallon of gas in the U.S. is at a three-year low. Joining us to discuss is Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group in Chicago. Phil, thank you for joining us today. And the petroleum markets giving drivers a Christmas present if they are driving somewhere for the holidays, or they just have to gas up to get between shopping malls as they do their holiday shopping.
And it sure is. And I'll tell you, Rob, a lot of times we'll see when gasoline prices are low that Christmas present shopping it goes up, right? Because people feel richer when they have more money in their pocket. So you can be amazed, what a difference having that disposable cash in your pocket, not having to spend, $150 of, to fill up the SUV can be when it comes for the holiday. So not only are the drivers loving this, a lot of the businesses out there are loving it as well.
So when I get that second back scratcher on December 25th, I know I can thank the petroleum marketplace for making that possible.
You can. Not only that, the gas cheaper, it also is probably made out of petroleum product, that back scratcher, that second one that you're getting.
So. Now, will the trends continue into the new year? What are some of the things that we can keep an eye on in 2025?
Well, of course, the big mantra, drill, 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 right? Everybody's hopeful that when Donald Trump gets in office, opening up the U.S. oil and gas industry, removing regulations, pipeline building, you name it, should lead to an era of lower prices. But before we get to that point, we have a lot of issues here right now. If you look at global supply versus demand, you know, it's not fitting the mantra that everybody told us it should be. I mean, demand's at a record high. Supplies are tighter than they've been in 10 years. So, you know, that isn't really a very comforting scenario. And now with increased geopolitical risk, you know, a lot of talk right now that there may be an attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure, both from Israel talking about it, the Wall Street Journal saying that Trump is looking at that possibility, that geopolitical risk situation could cause a spike if something happens. So that's one of the things you have to look at, you know, as you get into the new year.
Are the oil companies actually making money off of producing oil right now? Because you can talk about making it easier to drill for oil and find greater supply. But you get to a point, though, where all of that investment in exploration, it's got to be worth your while. You got to get some bang for your buck in terms of making money off of that investment.
You're absolutely right. And one of the problems that the oil and gas industry has had in the past, that they've been too successful in producing oil, where they've driven down the price and they're not making money. I think in this new environment, even with drill baby drill coming in, they're smarter, right? They're not going to just pump for the sake of pumping, you know, not try to, you know, pump oil, and lose money on every barrel and try to make up for it in volume, right? So they're going to be smarter about it. So, I think you're absolutely right. Oil companies are making money. Refiners had a pretty decent year, but they want to keep it that way, right? They don't want to crash the price. But I think they're optimistic because they know it's not just about how much they're pumping. It's about, you know, moving the oil, you know, building the pipelines, and getting into an environment, you know, where you're not going to have to spend money just trying to pay, you know, keep the regulators happy and streamline permitting processes, streamlining regulations, common sense for everybody that should make the U.S. energy and oil and gas industry just very profitable in the new year, but also mean lower prices for Americans.
Phil Flynn, senior market analyst with the Price Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.